Hello and welcome to Ascension Day, the Warhammer 40,000 Genestealer Cult podcast. I have with me once again Nexus Floof. Floof, how are you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal today. Thank you for asking, man. How are you doing?
Oh, great. I'm doing just fine. And if anyone's been living under a rock, why are we doing just fine, Floof?
As it turns out, the data slate just happened to drop in the middle of Grotmas. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It is pretty good. So, if anyone, and I hope you guys did listen to our last episode, but for anyone who didn't listen to our last episode, we were basically talking about how essentially, like, by GSE are, were, and probably still gonna be, are, be at the top of the meta. And, like, what we were kind of worried about that was gonna happen with the slate, possible nerfs that we could have incoming. And honestly, looking at the slate, it's just a buff. I mean, especially for the playstyle that you and I, both play, that's much more hoardy. This is a buff. And really the I mean, I finagled my list around. We could talk about your list, what you finagled. But Floof, why don't you tell our dear listeners what the slate brought for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So, going into it, first off, the biggest thing is the change to Cult Ambush, right? Essentially, what it is now, instead of rolling a dice and on a 4-up, a 5-up, a 2-up, it's battle line, or whatever the heck, any iteration that it has been, from now on, going forward, what it is that you get 10 little points. Requisition points, reinforcements points, Xeno points, whatever, names don't matter. You get 10 points.
I've been calling them Xenobucks.
Hell yeah. And basically, how this works out is that when something dies, you can redeem a certain amount of points equal to essentially how much that unit is worth, right? So for things like your acolytes and metamorphs, those are all going to be 2 points for a 5-man, 4 points for a 10-man. Adeline Jackals, Pure Strains, and Neophytes are all 3 points for their half-size squad, 6 points for the full-size. Aberrants are five for five models, and then a 10-man squad is actually eight, which I think is actually pretty big for the Brood Search list. But anyways, you redeem these points, then that unit goes into Cult Ambush, and you can set your blip down as per usual, and then on the next turn, they can come in either through base deep strike or they can come in off of the blip.
So,
Overall, I go ahead.
I was just verifying that the blip mechanic itself still remains the same, correct? Right? It is opponent's turn.
Yes. In your opponent's turn, same thing. If they walk within nine, it goes away. But outside of that, like they did clarify now that you cannot just rapid ingress, which it's good that we like at least have a yes or a no on that either way.
Gotcha.
And then yeah, if you don't have any blips to come in from, then yeah, you just deep strike in.
Gotcha. And I think another kind of feels bad mechanic that was taken out was the fact that you used to were able to bring back the unit in the same turn if like they died from Overwatch. Like you put down five acolytes, they died from Overwatch, and then it's still your reinforcement turn, so you can bring them back right where they are. Now it's your next turn, which makes sense. That's how I always should have been.
So like it used to be you would have scenarios to where I've had it in games to where like I even had it on a stream game against Ganyo to where I dropped acolytes in to do an action. He knew that they were doing an action. So he's just like, okay, well, they're not going to charge me anything. So this is my one thing to Overwatch. So I'm going to Overwatch them. And he kills the squad. And I rolled the five up. And I go, cool. I'm not even going to pick up my models. They just come back in right there. And it's just like, oh, cool. Great. I wasted a CP. That, like, it is a very big feels bad for your opponent. So it is something to where, like, yes, I can still get the unit back if I want the unit back, but now I have to wait to bring it back in. At the earliest, I can get it back at the end of my opponent's movement phase from coming from a blip.
All right. Sweet. So, giant change to our army rule. So obviously a lot of people were kind of expecting this. And it, you know, we were all like fairly certain that they're going to give us some kind of mechanic where we could essentially choose when our army rule is going to be available to us. And it's such a huge change and super nice. I think the biggest thing, the biggest win with this army rule is not only A, that we get to, you know, have some player control, but B, it is a mechanic that can be leveraged differently depending on the scenario you're in. So not just the list that you bring. For instance, like you know, I was talking to about this with some of my teammates earlier. You know, in my list, there might be situations where I want to bring back 5 units of MSU Acolytes, and I can. Like, so essentially, I could be playing the game with 11 units of Flaccos. Or if there's something like something that's kind of big that I want to throw, you know, some neophytes in, I could take one of my 20 mans and neophytes. They're going to come in, they're going to have sustained. And then I can use their shooting to help, you know, get something off the board, or their 40 OC or what have you, to essentially try and, you know, flip an objective or do whatever it is I need. And I think that is that GW really hit the nail on the head with with reforming this army rule into something that I think is interesting, is way less field bad than your opponent potentially having to play against 4,000 points at GSC, or you essentially being down 500 points at GSC because, you know, we are pointed as if we do have our army rule. So what are your thoughts?
So I think you made a very good point to where GW has made this rule. It feels like they've swapped it from a feels bad rule to a feels great rule, at least from my perspective, because at first I'm thinking like, oh, I can design a list to where like, you know, maybe I don't take a whole lot of action monkeys and like maybe only take like 3 or 4 squads of acolytes, but all of my like cult ambush I'm just spending on them. So I do have like 9 at the end of the game. But then I thought about it. And one of the big things was when I was hearing, I believe it was Innes talk about like a 10-man aberrant squad in Brood Search, right? To where like normally because they're so tanky, they weren't dying until like turn 3, so you were rarely hitting that 5-up. Well, now you have it to where you can just save like the 8 points, right? But now your opponent's trying to like play around it, and maybe like they don't want to kill it, and you might find yourself in a position to where like a couple aberrants are like on a point. And your opponent just doesn't want to like do anything, so they just kind of like give you that point. You're like, cool, actually, those 8 points, I'm gonna punish you for doing this, and everything else you're killing this turn, I'm gonna go ahead and res that stuff. So now all of my like acolytes are coming back, maybe some pure strains or something. Like, it doesn't just adapt based on the matchup, it can adapt based on the turn if you make your list right, which like I am so excited to be able to like get my hands on. Because there could definitely be a thing to where, like, I've just off the rip, I immediately changed my host list to I put jammed 2 of my 5-man Flamer Acolyte squads together. That way, I have the choice of in my games being able to bring back neophytes, sure, but also a bunch of 5-mans if I want, maybe Gene Stealers if I'm feeling funky with it, but also just a 10-man. Say I like just need the extra like flamer damage. I go, cool, I'm bringing these guys back. And they're 4 points. I could do that twice. I could bring in 3 10-man squads of Flamer Acolytes if the game requires it. Or if it doesn't require it, maybe I go like a 10-man and 20 neophytes. Or just a 10-man and 3 squads of 5 Flamer Acolytes. Maybe my opponent kills the 5-man little auto pistol guys that I have on my home point. Well, I'm just going to spend 2 points, and actually they're back there and they're still farming me a CP. Like that, like that's just so cool. It's reactive. It's in the moment. I love this rule so much now.
Absolutely. And I think people, if they haven't done it, like when you use plus one to wound on a 10 man unit of Flaccos and like another 5 man unit of Flaccos, where you have 15 D6 twin linked, like at the bare minimum, wounding on a 5, that is huge. That is huge.
Yeah, I went to Chaos Knights and they brought like two big knights and they like put, I always forget the name of it, but the one with the shield.
The Lancer. It's
always got the four up. Yeah, they put a Lancer on the middle point, touching like my terrain piece, so I could see like I could see them from my deployment zone, and I go, okay, the Benefictus and like 10 acolytes are gonna drop down, and like the Benefictus and Neophyte Squad certainly did a lot of damage, but just the 10 man acolytes with full wound rerolls, plus one wound, plus one AP, brought it down to like half, and that's just nuts.
Yeah, exactly, and. Yeah, and just being able to modulate that and recycle. I mean, you could potentially think about keeping eight Xenobucks in the bank, so that way you could bring that same unit back twice. Like, there's no there's no restrictions on certain units being able to use the army rule. Once it's on the field, it's a brand new unit. So that also brings up the changes to demo squads. So if for those who may not know, 3-inch deep strike for I believe the entire game is completely gone. It's all been replaced with a 6-inch deep strike now. Yes. For us four-armed enthusiasts who, you know, may or may not want to be trying to bring back the demos, you'd think like, oh my god, those things are now unusable. No, they are now 8-inch range. Yep. So now,
which I think is an amazing change. Just before I really get into like that whole change, shout out Tau that got hit with the same thing with their, if you're within 6 inches, get a buff. But if you look at them on the data slate, it certainly is like a 9-inch segment of nothing there that just says no changes. So they just get to run at people, but we, however, did get all of our, like important weapons. Our range did get increased. And it's not only for the demo acolytes, which is the nuts thing. Cause like, yeah, you can still spend the strat to 6-inch and then throw an 8-inch demo charge at them. Cool. Great. Fantastic. But also they gave it to the rock grinders. They gave it to the truck and they gave it to the Reductus Saboteur. That's just straight buffs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're still planning on bringing Claw, or just, you know, any form of any of those data sheets, like they just gave you 2 extra inches on demo charges, which is really, really good. And while it might not seem like much, like talking about it, in theory, in practice, like that could be huge. So what are your thoughts now on the combination of the army rule change and the demo and the changes to the demo range? Are you now possibly considering bringing back demo squads, or what are your thoughts on that?
So I think demo squads are in a very specific point in our arsenal. It's where I think they are good in a meta call, to where if your local meta is running like boy spam or like Black Templars, or you just have these big 15 to 20 man groups, fuck it, maybe even Necron Warriors, you know, to where... you can get that blast profile back up to get you a good amount of shots downrange again. I think in areas like that, yeah, these are awesome. And I think actually even outside of hosts, they're at least maybe doable. I don't know. I haven't tested them out in Xenocrete, but just having just a little bit of extra throwing range, it just makes me want to be like, okay, let's check this out again. Now, I'm going to obviously say that until I run out 10 acolytes and roll 4 ones for their shots and I go, okay, yeah, okay, you know what? That was on me. Back on the shelves. Let's get these hand flamers back out. But that one time I roll like a 4, 5, 5, 6 on the amount of shots, I'm going to feel alive. I think they're fine. I think you still want to take them in host, but I think there's a lot of scenarios to where they're not, like, if you go into like Tyranid Monster Mash, or if you go into Knights, or like Iron Storm, or the Necron Iron Storm, like, you're just going to be like, I don't really do that much, right? Mm-hmm. Weirdly enough, those are almost like with the big tough stuff, you kind of almost want the flamers just because it's just more consistent shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's, weirdly enough, I do. This is kind of unrelated, but I do like the whole Benny Bomb Squad, if you've seen those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where you take a Benefactus with one demo acolyte. Like, maybe you do actually put her with a full demo acolyte squad now and just go with that. But I don't know. It's interesting, right? It's something to play around with.
Yeah. And what I see that unit being a really great tool in your toolbox would be for like 8-man teams. If you're GSC player, you want to skew them into a, like, you are a dedicated anti-infantry guy, then that's huge. Like, especially in Host of Ascension, where you could bring him in with a Benny with Assassination Edict, come in, mm-hmm. you know, demolish a very big important brick, res them for 4 CP, and then you have them again, and then you're able to pop primed and readied on them. Because I think whenever I played them at Nova, that was the biggest problem I had with them, is because they did compete so much with the neophytes for wanting to use primed and readied, which is why I eventually dropped them. However, if I knew, like, I'm going to be playing against bricks of infantry, like I said, boys or warriors or whatever, especially warriors in Hypercrypt, because if you don't wipe the squad, that squad could potentially be sucked into a monolith put right beside the Resurrection Man, and mm-hmm. then, you know, if they have an Overlord, pop the orb, and then boom, like, they're back up to like 15 bodies or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think definitely situational, definitely meta dependent. I think it in 8-man teams, like, it could be huge. So,
oh, I also will say there is a very niche interaction as well that I think honestly can only kind of come up in teams unless you're very, very lucky in singles. And that's the acolytes are now much better at handling surge moves. Because the demo charges beforehand, they were a 6-inch range. There wasn't a point to where you weren't able to get surged into. So, like, say you're going up against AC/DC, right? You hit them with demo charges on a 5-up, they're getting into you, right? So a 30% chance of the time they're getting into you. Now, if you're at 8-inch range, you can be at that 7.1 away, hit them with the demo charges and the hand flamers, and no matter what they roll, you're out of melee range. So that does allow you to be like, oh, hey, Mortar Ridge Runner you, because I don't care if you surge towards me. That's just going to give me more shots.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually a really good point. And I mean, it's like you said, it's niche and not really relevant until it is. And as someone who has, you know, bitten off on some of those blood surge moves, like, that could potentially just end the game right then and there.
Yeah,
because, you know, that they can touch that, then they're not getting shot anymore, and it can be really bad. So let's talk about the points. The only points changes that we got, and correct me if I'm wrong, was a 10-point increase to Ridge Runners, 20 points to Abominance.
Which I 20 points on the Abominant. I'm just like, God. Oh,
Oh, yeah.
bam. He is. What has he been doing in Broodsurge lists? That is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That definitely hurts. The Broodsurge list, my heart goes out to you. That's definitely a smack upside the head that I think is a little bit harder than needed, but I mean, we've also just had an insane win rate, so I don't know. That being said, the 10 points on the Ridge Runner, I thought it would just be like, they would plink 5 points on it or something like that. 10 is a little bit steeper, but also at the same time, the Ridge Runner does something in the list that nothing else does. Like, it enables the codex, so like I can see them going like, hey, we don't know what to like really tax right now because the cult ambush change could change so much. So let's just like kind of hit the unit that everyone's gonna take. That way it's like almost like a GSC tax, if that makes sense. Because like I don't see any good lists bringing less than two of these guys. I don't know if that's
My
I don't
list
know if
now
that's a
has
hot take
three.
right now.
Oh
Yeah, like it's
no.
so good.
Yeah. And I think obviously Brood Surge probably got the biggest kick in the balls, which makes sense.
Yeah, that was the one that everyone was kind of taking.
Yeah, and it was the one that was usually from my skimming through BCP. It was typically the one that was winning the GTs, or top fiving the GTs was usually Brood Surge.
Yeah.
And now, if you were running like an MSU Brood Surge list with, sometimes you'd see 2x2 laser cards, sometimes 1x2 laser cards. You're essentially getting anywhere between, let's say, like 80 to like 110 or 20-ish points taken off of your list, which, yes, does suck.
Yeah.
However, that is when you're able to be like, okay, let's drop some of my scoring because I know I can bring a certain amount of scoring back.
Yeah. That's
And
also kind of the thing is just like if you really think about it, some lists can be a little bit greedier. This isn't like a recommended thing, but some lists can be a little bit greedier because you can just go, yeah, I have like a pocket like 300 points I can work with throughout the game. I can kind of pad out what I really need, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And then something else you're able to do is, well, now that you have a guaranteed 10 man in the bank, no matter what, a 10 man plus a Biophagus, like you get to that, you have incurred 0 points, point penalties onto your list. And then you, and then like maybe 2x5 being led by Aberrance or Abominance. And then at that point, you've incurred about 40 points that you have to now, deal with. But the Biophagus is also cheaper than the Abominant. And then it comes down to where do you want your ranged anti-tank to come from? Potentially bringing in neophytes, potentially bringing in Reductus Saboteurs, who now have an 8-inch demo instead of the 6-inch. So there's definitely ways around that if you want to continue running Brood Surge. So now for Claw, I really don't think that they got hit nearly as hard. I mean, they were taking probably about usually five trucks. Sometimes you'd see six. So at the very worst, you're taking 60 points off your list, which is a unit of Acolytes.
Yeah, a unit of Acolytes. I think Another hit they did take was, if I'm right, a lot of the Outlander lists were taking a lot of Kellamorphs, just because like two or three in a truck, you know, is that 12, 18 shots on 2, 6, 2, 1, possibly 6, 3, 1. Like it was just able to do a good amount of damage, right? Now that the reactive move is only 9, yes, that wasn't really what they were being used for on the list, but it is still kind of a hit. I think you could see a lot of the lists pivoting more towards like reductive saboteurs. It's on th that's one of the main, like, my main takeaways in this as well, is that you now have the Kellamorph, who had a really good reactive, but it got brought down to 9 inches. Well, in my opinion, the reductive saboteur is a reactive that just does more damage, right? D3 plus 3 mortals is going to do better than 6 shots at 6-2-1. That being said, the battle shock can be fucking massive from what the Kellamorph can offer. But I believe now the Saboteur can offer a little bit more because she's got the indirect. She's got now an 8-inch demo charge that you can pair with the grenade strat. And I could see a lot more lists pivoting to where, oh, I've got like a Mortar Ridge Runner, so let me bring like 2 or 3 Saboteurs. So now, hey, your scouts that are in midfield, I'm not going to go dedicate anything to them. I'm going to go hit them with a Ridge Runner, and now these 2 to 3 Saboteurs are going to start taking off wounds, you know? So
Absolutely.
go for it.
Well, I was just gonna say, yeah, Saboteur is like out of a truck with, wound rerolls can be really huge, and now we've just given them a bit more agency to do that.
Well, like also in the fact that like it enables acolytes on things that aren't points, because what you could do is have a truck that has like some acolytes in it, right? They get out, they go maybe on the other side of a wall to where the truck doesn't really want to go because it might die. So you go ahead and run the saboteur into the truck, now indirect onto whatever the acolytes are about to shoot. Oh, hey, that gives them the full wound rerolls. Because maybe what they were shooting at, your opponent was like, oh, well, I'm not going to consolidate onto this point and give you full wound rerolls. And you're like, haha, I'm still going to
So
do it.
I'm gonna do it no matter what. That, and
Yeah.
then it could also enable you, if you wanted to make the pivot to few metamorphs as well. It does give you that ability.
God, 10 metamorphs being 4 points is just insane.
It is wild. I wasn't a huge fan of them, but now when I can just say, well, I get them back, that changes things. That changes the dynamic. And I think that's something that a lot of people are going to experience in their testing. Is that when you have a set amount of units that you're able to bring back, it will change the way that you write lists,
Yeah.
which is great, I think, versus, going to the casino, pulling on the handle, seeing what you get. Sometimes you have an army roll, sometimes you don't.
Well, right, like that. Well, that was kind of like what I was even doing with the Swarm Host list. Like I said it when I first made my video on it, and like most of the times when I talked about it, I was like, yeah, I'm here to see how much stuff I can get. I'm here to abuse Cult Ambush, basically. Throw as many squads in, so I'm rolling as many dice as possible. And there was games to where I just got carried because I had 200 neophytes over the course of the game, and that shouldn't be happening, right? But also, I'm a competitive player. I want wins, so I am going to do the thing, right?
I mean, it's using your
And
army rule in the best way that you can. I mean,
yeah.
every other faction does that has
Yeah,
a
like
army rule that they're able to use.
it's like playing combo in Magic. You're sitting there like, oh man, this is kind of dumb. Anyway, here's my whole thing. Go next. Cool. Anyways, so now it's something to where the army rule brings about decision making from the first step, from list creation to even deployment on like what things you want to be more aggressive so you can trade them and get them back early, to round 3 and round 4, and you've got like 6 points left to use, and you're like, what's good, right? What is gonna put me over the edge on bringing this game back? Do I want to save this 20-man neophyte squad, or do I see if I can get 3 more acolyte squads over the course of this game? Like, this is very real decisions that I think are just, I think is very cool to have into this. Shout out to one of the biggest winners of this in terms of detachments. I think Xenocreed is fucking insane right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their enhancement, for those that don't know, it was the one to where it allowed you to re-roll a cult ambush roll for a battle line once per turn, right? Now it is just you get two more of the Xenobugs. So now you start at 12. And that gets you 30 more acolytes and or metamorphs.
Which is, I think, super huge. Also in the fact that that asshole doesn't have to stay alive. Because that was always like the hard part is you need to make sure that you put him on like an icon ward and give the icon ward some dudes to give them the feel no pain and like just hope to hell. You know, he could survive all game.
Now this can be on the icon ward that goes and like runs in turn one with like 10 metas and goes and, you know, is your first little missile.
Exactly.
You don't care anymore about having it because it's just at the start, hey, get two more points, right?
Yeah.
And that's amazing because now not only is it like spending 25 points to possibly get, you know, another 70 points worth of value, but you're kind of incidentally getting like another 100 more points back because you're not having these points sit in your backfield doing nothing, right?
Exactly.
They can actively play the game.
And I mean, I will say that I really enjoyed metas the most whenever they were joined by the icon ward because it made them one of the few sources in the game of a 4-up feel no pain, which I get it, you know, it's on single wound guys, but I've had that unit survive. I've had that unit survive JPI. I've had that unit survive like getting punched by getting punched by some like, you know, custodies that was able to like heroic and maybe not all of them were able to punch. And then, you know, a couple more dudes survived that he didn't think that were able to. Boom, they have a fucking icon. And now they're potentially, you know, D3 or flat 3 back up. So it can really swing the math in some of these situations, especially if you're able to really utilize fight phase mechanics intelligently. So Xenocreed really got a huge buff, like you were saying, from this change and from the change in their enhancement. So looking at the slate and MFM as a whole, what are you thinking about the rest of the field, the other factions, their changes, how that is going to affect your GT experience?
So, I am. I'll give a hot take of the like new Christmas detachments that we've been seeing, which I hope that name sticks around. You have your index detachment, now you have your Christmas detachment, and then you go to your Codex ones.
You have to wear a Santa hat though whenever you play a Christmas detachment. If you don't, then you lose.
I know people are really worried about the Necron one. Right, the Necron Ironstorm, but like the list I'm seeing is just a bunch of like high quality but low volume, you know, damage 4 shots, and like they're bringing like nothing to like stand on primary. So I'm like, okay, you're being greedy with damage, so I'm just gonna win this. If Necron players are smart and they don't get greedy and they actually like, you know, here's like a 20 man warrior squad that's also gonna get the like benefits to hitting that detachment or whatever. Cool, great. I think custodies are scary right now. I think the bikes change is massive to where they don't need to advance to do the mortals. They just are flying over you, and they got what, +1 toughness and +1 wound?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I think that they're cheaper too now, right?
Yes. Or so like the thing was with custodies was just like before you could just wait. Like, you had a turn before they realistically got to you, right? Because it was just a bunch of dudes walking up. But like now the bikes can realistically not like probably not charge you turn one if you're smart with your deployment, but they're gonna be getting to you very quickly. You don't really have that like turn or two to like set up. And wardens didn't get touched, and wardens are just a way to, oops, I rolled all my four ups and four up feel no pains. You didn't do any damage. Now I'm gonna just beat you up. They worry me. And then Grey Knights. I think the new Grey
Grey
Knight
Knights.
detachment is insane. There was a moment to where like people were like, it's not even better than the index one, and I was just like,
My brother in Christ.
I think
Twin
you're a
full
silly
hit
Billy for saying
reroll.
that.
Full hit reroll Dread Knights are going to really make you rethink your life.
Yeah. When people were like, but you don't have miss, and I'm like, yeah, but instead, so you take away miss and you take away an auto advance six because who gives a shit? And then you give them full hit rerolls. So you now give the detachment that struggles to kill things a way to kill things. And you're just like, oh, I guess I just die. Whoops.
And that Dev Wound Purifier like combo thing, like that's fucking scary, dude.
It's
Goodbye to
so.
my knight that I just, decided to like move out a little bit.
So I think in terms of like the meta, I think GSE is still going to be in a very strong spot. I think it's going to go back to requiring player skill to win your games, hopefully. Because now you're not going to be in the scenarios where, oh, I just made every single cult ambush roll shake my hand. We're not going to have that thing to where I forget his name, but there was a, tabletop gameplay of like round five of a GT and someone's playing against GSC and they made every single roll for the first two turns. And when it got to round three, he j the his the GSC op opponent GSC player's opponent just conceded. Because there was no
Oh
way you don't
yeah.
win against that, right?
I
Like
think that was at
and I don't
Sheffield. I know which one
yeah,
you're
and
talking
I
about.
genuinely I don't blame him for that. I do not blame him for that because there is no way you win against that, right? But now if it's only three or four things, there is a game plan, there is an out that both players can go for. So I think that's
Absolutely.
good. I think our tough things in the meta are going to be Custodes, Grey Knights, and shot at the dartboard Admech, just because I feel like Admech is there's a lot of anti-infantry stuff that they got. They got a lot of bullets, man.
Yeah, and if they go Skitarii, then they have, game like army-wide stealth essentially. So it can be, quite spooky. Yeah, definitely. I think all of those that you said, I think that if Necrons want to shift to having more points and holes that I can easily put on their invul with, a single Ridge Runner man, that's fine. Go for it. So I have played against that new detachment. The game was over by turn three. I
I
killed
just look at it and I
two.
go, sick DDAs, brother. I'm charging you with 20 neophytes on this point.
Well, they still die. Like they I killed they're like, oh, I have this minus one damage enhancement, blah blah blah. It's like, okay, that's really cool. Here's 13 quadrillion damage one shots. Please make your four up. So okay, cool. You didn't. Okay, die. So that one definitely not afraid of. Custodes is always weird. That's always like a weird one. Where it's like, yeah, that one could be a bit of a casino, so I could see that one turning sideways.
Genuinely, almost all of my Custodes matchups, I have either felt like it is unwinnable for my Custodes opponent, or I was on the back foot at all times, and there's never like the in between, and it's almost always decidedly based on how many fours they roll.
Well, they don't have any, they're not getting AOC, so like they're always any important thing is saving on a three up, which if you give it enough shots, they'll start to fail. So yeah, I could see all of those. I think if they towards their dreadnought detachment, I am much less afraid of that than I am afraid of talons or shield hosts. So we'll see how the meta kind of reflects. All right, I am curious about your thoughts, I guess, on the meta as a whole. So I do think a lot of people that aren't, forearmed and, have scrotum heads like we do are afraid of Iron Storm Krons. Do you, I guess, in your opinion, do you think that we could potentially see like more resurgence of anti-hull hulls or just like a bigger push towards anti-tank?
Yeah, because I think a lot of I feel like I've said this a couple times in different areas to where like I feel a lot of 40K players focus too much on damage and like just killing your opponent. So you look at the Necron Iron Storm detachment, and this is in no way me saying that it's bad or it's overrated or anything like that. Well, I'm kind of saying it's overrated, but I'm still saying it's very good, right?
It's good
But just
at what it
because
wants to do. Yeah, exactly.
You go, I have big gun, I'm gonna shoot big gun and kill that one big thing. Well, me as your opponent, if I've built my list in a way, I should be able to be like, okay, I can take a hit and respond, right? And also, hot take, Necron players have been playing Hypercrypt for too goddamn long. They don't know how to walk up the board anymore. So you know what? We got a month for them to learn how to play 40K again. That's coming from a GSC player. I still don't know how to walk up the board, but god damn it, they don't know either. But I think it's
Use my movement profile? What the fuck are you talking about?
right. I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I think it is certainly going to be good, yes. But there are other ways to win the game, and that's generally through scoring. And if you look at what a lot of the lists are trying to bring, it's a lot of I'm just gonna try and table you. And if you go, well, I'm gonna just take away your scoring units, I'm gonna go kill your Tomb Blades and your like single battle line, which is these immortals over here, and now you have to go put real units onto the points, and now my army can just beat the hell out of you, right? Because now I'm forcing you to come out with real things first, and you just go. So I think if people play smart, you're gonna be fine. You could still that's not like a 100% way of here's how to beat Necrons, but play smart. It's okay. You'll be all right. Outside of that, I don't know if there's any other real boogeymans. Obviously, we haven't seen the rest of the Grotmas detachments, but the only one I'm worried about is Grey Knights, honestly.
And just chewing through two ups, two upholds is gonna be kind of a headache. I do think that, if the meta does shift into how in the hell am I dealing with big expensive things that shoot me really hard, that if you are playing Claw or you are playing Brood Surge, you could potentially be catching, a bit of those meta changes. Because if someone is teching to kill Star Succumbent, whatever, Iron Storm Krons, then they sure as hell can kill some Ridge Runners and some Rock Grinders and other shit. And Brents, while they do have their fancy bancy minus one to wound, still don't particularly like King Shot by Melta or anything that can just be like, okay, well, make four or five up field no planes, please. I think that potentially that can strip your Xenobucks more quickly than you might want. So I would caution, all of our Claw and Punchman enjoyers, if your meta does shift like that, like don't automatically think, oh good, whew, I'm in the clear, GSC don't care about anti-tank. It's like, oh, parts of us do.
That's fair.
But I mean, as enjoyers of the true detachment of GSC. Oh
Yeah,
no, three
because
neophytes
like,
died.
yeah, like that's my thing. It's like I like to play a lot of Xenocrete and I like to play a lot of Host, and both those I run very swarm heavy because on I play those because they allow a swarm heavy build, right? I can definitely see to where like Outlander it can kind of struggle because also they don't really have the best damage to respond, right? Like if you top out two Ridge Runners to go shoot at a DDA that got exposed, and you just roll two shots with one, hey, they made an invuln, cool, you just kind of die in response. So like that can be rough, right? But I think there's game plan in each detachment to be able to really kneecap what your opponent is trying to do that I think players can rely on. And also
Absolutely.
just I still think Brood Surge is going to be fine into most matchups if you go like 10 man aberrants, 2 5 man aberrants, all with abominance. Yes, it's expensive, but you just shove them, you infiltrate the 10 man, you bring 10 back when they die, and you just go, here's just 30 aberrants just beating the heck out of you. Like I think that's you're gonna do fine.
Absolutely. I think that you're going to see a lot less Brood Surge at the tippy top of GTs, which is warranted. Like, I mean, anytime there's a Unga Bunga go fast and punch detachment, like doing well in the game, I don't think that's particularly healthy. Especially when you have the LOL chance of like getting everything back. So I think that one will definitely like be toned down, but is it dead? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, I think you just have to be a bit more clever with your points and you'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like maybe start looking at biophages. What can they offer you if they join Acolytes or Metamorphs or whatever? Like what can they give you? And honestly, I think that the Brood Surge needed a bit of shaking up in terms of internal balancing as well, because there was a good chunk of rules, mainly the biophages being able to give the detachment rule to things just not being used, because your list was Abbeys and Pure Strains and Ridge Runners and stuff. So I think that could lead to some interesting opportunities to see some different lists that may use some of our other melee components. Because I mean, GSC has plenty of good melee. Like, look at me, there are many other armies whose melee is fucking ass, or maybe it's not ass, but it's very limited to a couple of data sheets. Like a lot of our stuff, like Acolytes, your Flaccos, you could drop, roll a 9-inch, go in, and they could fucking massacre some Marines.
Yeah,
Or,
absolutely.
especially being twin linked in melee, they could take the last three wounds off of a knight or something. I've done it. It could be interesting to see some of those changes, with the internal balancing that we're going to be re that we got. So, given everything we kind of talked about, what are some of the lists that you've been kind of brewing up? Day zero lists that you have, whether it's changes to your Host of Ascension list or like what you're kind of excited about and bringing with Xenocreed.
I'll be honest, I've had like not that much time to really think about it just because got up and was like, crap, I gotta make a video. And then I've just been putting stuff out and just answering a bunch of questions and just honestly just talking about it with people. So the main list I have right now is a variation of my swarm host list, which is I dropped like a 5 man of acolytes. I combined two together and then I actually dropped the Clamavis because I think now that the special deep strikes are only 6 inches, my
Well, that's
list can
scary.
just it's a lot less scary, and I can just screen out more effectively, and I think people are much less incentivized to bring that kind of stuff anyways. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's as necessary. So now in my list, I've got a Primus with the lethal enhancement, two Benefictus, two Reductus Saboteurs, 3x5 Flaccos, 10 mana Flaccos, Squad Attackos, 6x20 Neophytes, two Pure Strains, three Ridge Runners with Mortars and Survey Augers. And that's like my like hour one list changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I honestly probably will mess around with Xenocrete. I still gotta, honestly, I gotta get more Acolytes and Metas because I've got like 50 and somehow that still isn't enough.
Yeah.
So I do want to test that out because there is just the fact that 12 points, just that extra two really does push over what you can really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to work with it, honestly. I'll probably also, I just got 25 Pure Strains painted up, so I'll be looking at Brood Surge again. I don't know. I'm just excited to list build, man. I'm so excited. Because I think one of the coolest things is going to be able to, like, even putting in units that you might not normally put in, because now it is a tool in your toolbox to spend reinforcements points on, right? Like, I just think it's so, so cool. I could not talk about this enough. I'm so hyped for this, so.
Absolutely. No, I was just saying, like, it's been exciting just to, like, see the buzz of like just wanting to make more lists, different lists, you know, definitely seeing the shakeup of the meta that we've had within the faction. So I'm actually really happy with the list that I brewed up. So whenever the Abominance and Abbeys took the hit, because I did have 3x5 Abbeys, each being led by an Abominant.
In your host list, right?
In my host list. Just because something that I noticed, because I'm not bringing as many Neophytes, is like things like Chaos Knights and shit that just that's kind of tough, that wants to be in midboard. I didn't really have a great answer into, like, because I wanted to keep my Neophytes in the air as long until I needed them. So that's what they were there for. They were there to just kind of like, you know, just keep people a little bit honest. So I actually ended up dropping them. I have no more Aberrants in the list at all. Mm-hmm. No more Aberrants, no more Abominants. So I still have my three Benefictus. One of them has Assassination Edict. I have the Primus with Chink in their armor. And then I have a Patriarch who has our time is nigh. So six Flaccos, 6x5 Flaccos, a single 5-man Taco, 4x20 Neos, one with mining lasers, the other three have stubs.
Yep.
Three Ridge Runners, 2x5 pad or 2x5 Pure Strains, and then 1x10 Pure Strains. And this was, I mean, A, it was a response to the points being dropped. But B, it was also, I think, a response in, like, sometimes, and I remember StatCheck did a episode, did a podcast about this. They call it Killing Your Darlings. I remember they had Skari on to talk about it. Uh-huh. And it was really interesting. The whole thing was that essentially we could sometimes in the list building process, like, gaslight ourselves into thinking things are good, things are not good, and potentially being holding ourselves back. I think that the Abbeys getting, or the Abominants getting the shakeup that they got kind of like forced my hand to essentially like reinterpret, like, what is it that my list is trying to do? And then having a 10-man Patriarch plus, or sorry, 10-man Pure Strain plus Patty really does do the same thing as what the Abominants were doing, but in ways they do it better because A, they infiltrate. B, they can sometimes be harder to kill, honestly, because they all have the invuln. And C, they are fucking fast.
Yes, they're
They
very fast.
like against a list that's not prepared to deal with it. Like that's really what Brood Surge was doing. And so it's like taking what Brood Surge was doing, not having to take Brood Surge, which, we just talked about, is not nearly as lethal, or not nearly, I shouldn't say not near as lethal, isn't as lethal as they were, and putting it into my Host of Ascension list that can A, just do the thing, start in the middle of the board, shove up, advance on charge and pop Our Time Is Nigh for an extra two to their charge roll and just keep someone like in jail for a turn, which allows the rest of the board to get set up to shoot the ever living Jesus out of them. Or you set them up, you deny infiltrate, and then you use the Primus to suck them back into the ground. And now you have a brick of dudes who can do a 7-inch charge out of Deep Strike with, what is it? I think Pure Strains are 4 attack space.
Yes.
So 40 attacks hitting on twos with dev wounds and sustained, potentially sustained on fives and sixes if you want to use primed and readied on them, and the Paddy's attacks. Like that can be a very fucking scary, just, deep strike or rapid ingress that
Yeah.
now your opponent is going to have to account for. Because normally when they're dealing with Host of Ascension, they're like, okay, he's going to shoot the shit out of me, fine. Now it's okay, he's going to shoot the shit out of me, he could potentially fucking jail me in turn one. Or if I decide to start way in the back, he sucks him into the air, and now I gotta fucking worry about this brick of, scary alien men coming in and eviscerating, what really whatever they want.
Yeah, because
So
you're like, I might not be able to 3-inch deep strike anymore, but I can rapid ingress and like sprint 14 inches and then charge and basically go kill what I was going to kill anyways.
exactly. Yeah.
It's real good.
And the brick of 10 is it is 6 points, so it does compete with Neophytes, but also a lot of times my melee in Host of Ascension is there to die. It's there to go do a thing and then die. And I mean, yeah, sometimes they would come back now, like unless I want them to come back, they're not. But I still have the 2x5 pierce strains, and now I'm able to fit in six Flaccos, which we've talked about. I know you've gone to the brick, which is also another way, definitely a very good way of utilizing the Flaccos. But if you want to still go MSU Flaccos, that's still great because they're just a very good tool at doing whatever the fuck you need them to do. Go kill, contribute to shooting, they can go do that, Go do an action. The next turn, they walk up and throw a grenade. They can do that too. They can do whatever you want. But yeah, that's where my Host of Ascension is right now. I haven't gone back to my Xenocrid list yet. I've mostly just been workshopping that. But post slate, that's where I'm at. So pretty similar to yours. A few key changes. But definitely really relying on horde and scoring pressure and denial pressure, which is something that from the beginning GSC are really, really, really good at doing. Saying, no, you don't do things.
I think the only thing else that I've done is just gone into the app, hacked into the code, and went ahead and deleted Brood Brothers from being an attachment, because after the nerf that Guard got, please stop playing that detachment.
Oh
Please.
yeah. Was it kind of, so Catachans got nerfs, Hellhounds got nerfs, which honestly,
Nymeras.
If you were bringing Brood Brothers, you were bringing probably three Hellhounds, because, like, why else would
Yeah.
you bring Brood Brothers? Yeah, that's fucking rough.
Yeah,
Though,
so
honestly.
message to the listeners, please just play guard or just play GSC or fuck it. I'm sure our Christmas attachment is like Forces of the Hive Mind. Go play that. Just
Honestly.
stop playing Brood Brothers.
The more I've been thinking about it, the more I do think it is Forces of the Hive Mind, especially now that they released like Knights, which, was bring either cultists or Skitarii, depending on how spiky you are. Which, by the way, I think the new CK detachment is fucking sick, dude.
Oh,
Just
dude, it's awesome. It's so cool.
a knight digging into his bag of cultists, chomping on a few and saying, I now have lethal. I now know
Yeah.
kung fu, and is gonna just fucking shoot the ever living Christ or punch the ever living Christ out of you even more. It's great.
Yeah.
I do have a list for that.
I want to get into Chaos Knights because my favorite gun in most of any kind of like war game is like a it's like a Gatling gun, like a chain gun, you know? And so I want to get the big knight that has two of them and
But it
just
does,
put the
yeah,
enhancement on him to where
the
he eats the
despoiler,
max
yeah.
amount of the despoiler, eat the max amount of cultists, get sustained and lethal on those boys and just
Oh
oh.
God. And a lot of people I know, guys in the Stat Check Discord, have been like really fawning over the detachment. They talk about like how you can include firebrands because they get to let you reroll leadership tests, and you could bring in a cursed cultist with a dark commune. Like, there's so much cool shit
Yeah.
in that detachment. So does it push CK like over the edge? I don't think so. Not at all.
No,
Like,
not at
now
all.
if you are someone who is a GSC player who also likes to play with knights, then you could bring 100 cultists. You could bring 100 fucking cultists, and you already have all of the practice of moving 100 idiots around the board at any time.
True.
So, like, what is it to you? It's just you're just playing GSC, but you have giant fucking vehicles now. It's awesome. Also, shout out to AOC being nerfed. Fuck that stratagem.
Oh my God.
My friends hate that stratagem.
Oh. It's so good. That's the buff. That's Let me get back to this.
Honestly.
I had to walk around because God, that makes me so happy. That's the buff. That was a buff straight to GSC.
Oh,
Oh my God.
they are like, your AP is conditional on a dude getting shot, and then all of a sudden they could just say, never mind, even though you shot me with a Ridge Runner, and no, haha, you can't stack them.
Yep. Yeah. Now when I drop down like three acolyte squads and like, I'm gonna have some chaff shots go in from a neophyte squad. And I'm just like, all right, pick your activation, brother.
Yep,
I'm so happy.
which one? Here's four fucking flights. Which one are you gonna AOC against? Oh, okay. The other three are gonna shoot you now.
I think that was a great buff for us.
Yeah. Huge. Huge. Cause so many in 10th edition, like, it seems like everyone has AOC. Fucking Votann has AOC. Grey Knights have Quicksilver armor. Obviously every fucking Marine detachment has AOC. Because reasons. So that feels real good. Real good. Cool. Other than that, any big thoughts about like just the slate of the whole, changes of the whole? What are you excited for? That sort of stuff.
I will say, overall, I think the data slate was good. I think that GSC could have been hit harder. I'll try and take my bias away from it. I think with how our win rate was, we could have been hit a little bit more. I understand that they held back a little bit because, the cult ambush change, which we haven't seen its effect. Maybe it's not as great as we thought. But, I've won games with getting nothing back, so getting a guaranteed something back, I'm almost positive this is a buff to us. But I think genuinely, I think we could have been, maybe a couple points here or there gone up. outside of that, I think there's a lot of stuff in here that I think is really cool and has really helped a lot of armies that aren't named Drukhari. I think all of the Codex compliant chapters having their Primarchs give like a related data sheet to them, like plus one OC is cool. Like a Vulcan gives the Flamer Boys plus one OC. My Chemical Romance Primarch gives the JPIs plus one OC. Like, I think that's cool and gives like a reason to more reason to not play, you know, oh, here's my Blood Angels Gladius. Mm-hmm. Also, the change to Oath is pretty sick as well.
Oh, yeah. Plus one to Wound is really good for them.
Outriders being like a data sheet is super sick.
Oh, Outriders and Blood Angels is fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
those you go Outriders smack.
Yeah, I don't know if you've realized this yet, but you get the plus one to wound so long as you don't take chapter specific units, not the detachment. So you can run a Liberator assault group that's just JPI, Outriders, Reavers, because those are actually units now. And like, you know, you take your rage fueled captain in whatever unit he normally goes. Like, you bring just base Space Marines, but in Liberator assault group, because that's just a good detachment. And now your oath gives you plus one to wound. Ah. So, like, that's so a funny thing.
Fucking, you're getting that scouts got like AP1 now or something on their combat knife.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, basically every combat knife profile got plus one AP.
Yeah, so the scouts are stabbing you, the bikes are stabbing you, JPI continues to stab you, fucking Blood Angel players should be like in heaven right now. Like, I know Mephiston and like a couple other guys got a little point. Yeah, who fucking cares? Like, just the fact that like so many like random ass data sheets that are really fucking cheap right now because they were trash for a very long time. Like, I like the next three to four months before the next slate are going to be pretty good for Marine players with like a very substantial collection.
I think the Blood Angels players just go, here is all of my trash. You think it does nothing until it's full rerolls to hit and plus one to wound. Oh, and this squad over here that isn't going into the oath target also just has Lance. So they're plus one to wound. And all my Outriders are damaged too. And oh, you're dead. Sorry.
And yeah, they have ATVs attached to them. They all have Meltas. So like, oh, you're in a night. Don't care. Like, get fucked, dude.
I think everything else is, I think genuinely everything is kind of getting to where it needs to be. GSC needs to go down a little bit more. Imperial agents to get looked at. Please, can we remember they exist in the next data slate? But
Their Christmas attachment is fucking awful. It's so bad.
Yeah, I didn't even look at the stratagems. I looked at the like first kind of like lines of the rules, and I was like, okay, this isn't real. And I just closed it and went about my day and pretended nothing came out that day.
Yeah, the fact that you have to pay the assassin taxes when you bring the assassins is fucking... Oh, what?
I was just like, all right, you know what? I'm big good off that, brother.
I'm gonna go to bed. Nice. Yeah. No, I think for anyone who's excited about playing GSC, still be excited about playing GSC. I know a lot of people kind of like hopped onto the faction after, you know, once they start being like more competitively viable, and I'm sure a lot of them were like, did I just waste $700, you know, or whatever, like getting into this faction for them to get nerfed in the ground? Oh, first, boo on you. You should have always been a fan of GSC from the beginning. Boo. How dare you. But second, no, you didn't waste your money because GSC are still fine. If anything, they got a buff, so yay.
Yeah, I think you're doing fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Floof, thank you so much for hopping on this last minute. I think I'm really excited. Obviously, we still have our Grotmist attachment to come around. What will it be? Who knows? Hopefully we get the CK Rider and not the Assassin's Rider. Like
True.
if it's bad but like fluffy and hilarious and interesting, like I don't even know what that would be. Like I could bring fucking knights or some shit. Like
I don't
I would
know.
love it.
I think already just being able to like the thought of bringing 60 Gene Stealers and also like a Biovore in like a GSC list is just, that's just funny. That's just funny.
30 pure strains, and guess what? Here are my other 30 pure strains.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're back. But yeah, no, 60 various forms of gene stealers sounds fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's not going to be hard to track at all.
No, these are the nid ones, I promise.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks again for hopping on. And thank you all for listening to us riff about this. As always, if you would like to be part of the Ascension Day community, you can follow the link below. I will also be grabbing Floof's latest videos and putting those in the description below if you'd like to listen to or watch those.
Thank you.
Any final parting spears thoughts that you have?
Just yeah, if you like YouTube content and you like second monitor content, I run a channel that's doing pretty well over at Nexo's Floof. You can go ahead and watch me talk about GSC there. I also stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/dfloof. And if you're ever in the NorCal area, come by my local shop, Elysium Cards and Games. You'll probably find me there. I'm kind of there a lot, so we'll get something in.
Awesome. All righty. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.